Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
and I am talking to you from a very, very wet Melbourne, Australia. Now, I know I was speaking to my friends in the US only yesterday, and I was saying it was incredibly hot here, and it was, and now it's completely pouring with rain and humid. It feels like Singapore. So, anyway, welcome to a team of voices, group on allpoetry.com. This is Open Poetry with AP Taylor, that's me, and along for the ride is none other than Deborah Lee. Hi Deb, how are you?
I'm all right, how are you?
I'm going along nicely, and there is also one Jay Hatter. Hi Hatter, how are you?
I'm just fine. We got the weather machine in.
Well, that's something. That's something. And with us also is 270. Hello, 270.
That would be me.
Whee. It would be. How are you?
Fine. Good, fine. How about yourself?
Excellent. Not too badly, Wayne. I have to admit there was something of a quick slather to get into the studio here. I think I made it with about 15 seconds of the song to go, but that's why you have a theme song. point, so that you can, you know, get yourself together and give yourself just that few minutes after lunch to get into the studio. So that's what I did. So,
all right.
When in doubt,
it's a weekend.
Stay
weekend.
Calm.
Time to relax.
Stay calm. Stay relaxed, and just let the technology do its thing. And you trust it, and it will work. And that's exactly what happened. So there you go. So here we are. And we also have another special guest. Hello, 720. How are we?
Well, hello, Master of the World. How are you?
Hello, sweet. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Excellent.
What's going on in your
Excellent.
World?
Well, I am sitting here in the car park of the big bistro at the top of the hill in Melbourne. So we've just done our Christmas family function, and I am sitting in the Audi reflecting on the world while it's absolutely pouring with rain outside, and it's hot as bugger. It's 27 and pouring with rain. What bloody Singapore.
Oh.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
27 and pouring with rain.
Are there frogs, toads, or snakes?
They'll be here somewhere.
Okay.
Probably not in the
they'll
car, though.
Not in the car. No, not in the car.
Okay, good.
But, you know, they'll be here somewhere. But, you know, they don't go wandering too far. They'll just be down in burrows or stuff because it's not that sunny, let's be honest, you know.
Okay.
So, So, is anybody, you on a time crunch, sweet? I am. You are? Okay. Did you want to put your poem directly onto the board for us that you have for
I
us?
I will.
Hey, B.
Well, there you go.
I got to say about an hour.
Perfect.
Sorry, Wayne. What was that? Do you want to go straight after Sweet?
I got to be here about an hour. I got a new mouse for my computer, and it's not wanting to act right. So I don't know what's happening with me.
Oh, no, that's okay. No.
All right,
It's all good. It's all good, Wayne. So we'll have Sweet go first,
right.
And then we'll have you go second, and then we'll work it out from there. So, Sweet, I can see you put your palm on the board. So did you want to take the airwaves, please?
Okay, this is Blackbirds and Awkward Words, kind of a nod to maybe Plath and Borowski there. All right. Struggling to find peace inside the bottom of a coffee cup, choking on the bitter taste, I make a slurping sound on the edge of a china cup while protesting Asian communist power. Cantillating cause, past judgment, and horrific melodies. Through smudged kitchen windows. Complacent and hungover, I vomit the words of an imbecile, speaking in riddles of Ravens and Poe, rambling in Shakespearean blunders, what is thou thinking, bird? Giggling at the madness dripping from brain to tongue. Clarity of consciousness condemns my bravado, reversing Darwin's theory on evolution regarding Homo sapiens. Blackbird's view, a woman pointing and screaming, what dew seeping from dark eyes, finds no calm in being. No reaper's plan, just a murderous reminder to live life outside in the world around her. End poem.
Now that is intriguing, sweet. I do like the cantilevering of China cup. Well, protesting Asia communist power, that's quite fun. If you'd sort of worked your way and sort of a little bit of Taiwan and a little bit of computer chips there, I would have been chips in the cup. I would have been so excited. But anyway, I digress. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Blackbirds and Awkward Words?
Yes. For starters, you said it was like a Bukowski and who?
Plath.
Okay, because I was going to say, talk about a great description is with the stuff like the Asian communist power, the rambling of in Shakespearean blunders. What is thou thinking, bird? It was like really cool, giggling at madness dripping from brain to tongue. You know, sometimes you amaze me. Well, quite often you amaze me, my sweet. I like the blackbird's view, a woman pointing and screaming. That would be my aunt when she was a kid. That movie, The Bird, traumatized her. So, like, she's really afraid of birds. Anyway, I was all over the place. And then the Reaper's plans, just a murderous reminder. I mean, you were all over the place, but it was so wicked. Great share.
Thank you.
I might have to use that china and porcelain cup and chips thing, I think. Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I said, this is so perfectly wonderful. You got a great storyline with it. Told you such wonderful praises. Everyone went through, you got great praises to explain what's going on. It just throws me away. And your read was perfect. You had the right accent and the right speed. It was a perfect read, too. Great, great, great point. I loved it.
Thank you very much, Wayne. I really appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Wayne. And Hannah, what do you think of Sweet and her piece?
Yeah, I like that, the china cup, too. Like every time you use the china, it takes you into that time zone, that era, that time in China. And then, you know, the debate of communism. Then to Shakespeare, the blunders of the blackbird. But the ending, where is it? The woman screaming, yeah, like Deb said. And the traveling for time, shoot, I had it written down. just traveling through time on each stanza was quite unique.
It was.
Every time I think I figured it out, you throw it something else. Nice job.
Thank you, Hatter.
No, it's... Nicely done, Sweet. Now, have you got time to hang out for a little bit, or do you need to go back and attend Armadillos and the other puppy dogs?
No, actually, I'm hanging out for movies tonight, so that's I've got to catch a movie.
Okay.
So.
Okay, cool.
You know,
okay,
it's Saturday night date night, you guys, you know, but I want to stop by.
No,
what are we watching?
Go for it. Sweet.
What are we watching?
Yeah.
Have fun tonight.
It's a movie.
What's the movie? I don't know. I'm not picking it. So it's always a surprise.
Oh, okay.
Not my night to pick. So.
Okay. Good idea. Well done, Sway.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you soon. I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Bye,
hang
sweet.
Out with
your
buddy.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Sweet.
Bye.
Yes.
Bye.
Night.
I am now grabbing Mr. Wayne Gent's poem, and Wayne has sent a SoundCloud, so bear with me for one sec.
This is a picture prompt poem, just because you want to take a look at the picture. It's kind of weird, but I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let us then go to the board, which says, as always, beautifully set up by Deb. This is Wayne for Saturday. So I'm going to post the SoundCloud now, Wayne.
This is called It Blew Away by Wayne Gent. Having been 10, or has it been 12 days? Time, when in need, can move in strange ways. The day of the ice storm, I remember it well. And the way the storm has put me to hell. At first, it was supposed to be a cold, wet rain. The surprise drop in temperature caused a lot of pain. The sound was maddening. Dams continuously breaking. Within a couple of hours, water into ice was making. As the electric lines fell, darkness became feared. No heat, no water, no food. Death only reared. No way to leave. 15 miles of ice to cross. If this be a battle, we'd have already lost. In the frigid air, I became somewhat confused. The first 3 days, I laughed, having been amused. As hunger set in, numbness controlled the pain. My eyes play tricks on me. It's hard to explain. I was alone. Where was I? I would see something outside. By the time I could open the door, it would hide. I tried to think straight. Was I starting to hallucinate? It would be there again. Something I started to hate. Standing there, over 7 feet tall, winged and warm. Lost all fear it would cause me any kind of harm. I could only stay huddled, shivering for days on end. With no change in ice or the bitter cold wind. Finally, I had enough. I was going to confront the beast. I tightly wrapped my body in rags. Go outside at least. It took what seemed like days for it to return. What was the thing that tormented me? I had to learn. Then I saw it. Moved slowly to the door. As I ran out, I fell. The ground was hard. I was weak. And it hurt like hell. I got the strength to stand. Wanted to catch it, I tried. Staggered into an opening. It flew away. An angel. I pointed at it and yelled as I fell back and died. Ian?
That's a heck of a scary picture to start with, Wayne. And you sort of turned it into the context of it being, you know, incredibly scary. So, very, very well written. Hatter, what did you think of that piece?
You're going to have to come back to me.
Okay. That's cool. Deb?
Well, okay. Wayne nailed the creepy factor here. I was looking, too, at the bottom where it says the picture prompt, can you see me in the picture? Death came calling and I followed. And that was spooky enough. And then I sat back listening to you read, Wayne, and your details and stuff, like standing there over 7 feet tall, winged and warm, lost all fear of it causing me any kind of harm. I could only stay huddled, shivering for days on end with no change in ice or bitter cold wind. I mean, you could almost hear the sound of your teeth chattering because your details were so great. And then there at that ending, staggered into an opening, it flew away, an angel. I pointed at it and yelled as I fell back and died. My goodness. Jeez. I see that you won the gold. And with that deadly ending, it's easy to see why. Congratulations, Wayne. Awesome.
It's my first share. Show this year.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very, very, very dark, but beautifully written way. So really, really nice.
Appreciate
it. Like a good dark poem. So, and that was certainly
just awesome. He basically froze to death. He got them froze to death. He just froze to death. Everybody got freezing to death and how painful it is. But, it's kind of weird. Glad y'all liked it.
Really interesting. I'm now going to go to the board, Deb, and I was going to grab the classic poem.
Cool.
And I'm just going to put that up on the board, just holus bolus, because we don't have a link for it, and then read that, and then I'll come back and work out what I'm doing next, as always. So that's up on the board now. So this is a poem that Deb has chosen for me to read, and we have a classic poem every week. And this particular week, it's from a poet called Ella Wheeler Wilcox, who was an American author and poet from 1850 to 1919. She wrote her first poem at 8, and by the age of 18, she was by the age of 14, she was published. A very famous poet in Wisconsin. So this is a poem called Two Kinds of People by Ella Wheeler Wilcox, and it goes a bit like this. There are two kinds of people on earth today, just two kinds of people, no more I say. Not the sinner and saint, for it's well understood, the good are half bad and the bad are half good. Not the rich and the poor, for to rate a man's wealth, he must first know the state of his conscience and health. Not the humble and proud, for in life's little span, who puts on vain airs, does not count as a man. Not the happy and sad, for the swift flying years bring each man his laughter and each man his tears. No, the two kinds of people on earth I mean are the people who lift and the people who lean. Wherever you go, you will find the earth's masses are always divided in just these two classes. And oddly enough, you will find too, I ween, there's only one lifter to 20 who lean. In which class are you? Are you easing the load of overtaxed lifters who toil down the road? Or are you a leaner who lets others share your portion of labour? And worry and care and pop.
Pretty cool, huh?
Let's fund it. I like that. Really cool. Really cool. So,
I like to grab the ones that are easy to read because you always flow right through them.
Yeah, I really like that one. I don't know. I tend to find my own rhythm and rhyme with a poem, and we go from there. So anyway, we'll see how we go. Well, there. Thank you for that information too on Laurent Montana, Deb, because I'm about to read Laurent Montana, and I wouldn't have recognised. This person is being a slightly renamed person that we know well.
Yep.
So, hello, Laurent. So, this is Immortals of Elysium. And it goes a bit like this. Nay, shall the requiem of the mortals placate the paean of a noble euphony invoked by the muse of the immortals, Aristophanean poets revered in a monody. Intellects of grand vision and sentiments, prodigies of lyrical stanzas of sagacity, endowed with inveritable percipience, connoisseurs of such impeccable ability. Appointed guardians of superb virtuosity, bountiful and magnificent odes of visages, sublime pages of epic and boundless infinity, vestiges of exalted and sempiternal images. Allegorical spirits of those sapient deities residing in a palatial zenith of immortality, quondam innovators of fine writing satyrs selected to reign from the rank of mortality. Multifarious fields of crimson rosebuds, labyrinths of velvet and parsley gardens, sustainers of leaves and assuaging red buds, and orifice states of wondrous Edens. Stately and gentle are the virginal streams and coasts of paramount oceans Atlantean, splendid with those placid isles of gleams beyond the imperial firmament cerulean. I shall curse the Plutonian dirge of oblivion, for I wait Orphic winds of the Pleiades now, guiding from yonder cliffs of ancient Albion to the Parthenon of Acropolis and its brow. Orpheus, I shall hark to the voices of Tennyson, Poe, Shakespeare, Wordsworth and Bronte, Byron, Cervantes, Garcia Lorca, Dickinson, Emerson, Wilde, Burns, Whitman and Dante, with the Immortals of Elysium. End poem. There you go. New name, same rhythm. I know exactly who it is. I'm going to let Hatter into the studio. Hi, Hatter. How are you?
Sorry about that. The cat kicked my phone over.
Oh, that's okay.
Who's the author?
Last poem, or did you...
I caught most of it.
Yeah.
This is one of our members, one of our people?
Yes, it is. It's a person.
Oh my God.
Who you start on as Carso.
I got a question myself, calling myself a poet. This guy's good.
It's great.
They show the requirement of the mortals. Wow.
Always.
I'm going to have to reread it.
Always interesting, Hatter. So, Wayne, what did you think?
Very good.
That piece.
Yeah, you can just read this and almost tell who wrote this. It's a form. Great job. He did a great job. It's a professional poem and written by a professional person. And you read it very well, too. And all I can say, this is a great poem, and no matter whose name's upon it.
Thank you, Wayne. And Deb, what did you think?
For one thing, I really like the title. But this poem reads like something from the classics, for one. Some of the language you just don't hear anymore, like deities and the palatial zenith of immortality. And I was looking at the side while you were reading, and it's got like multiple awards. Quite a few of them are golds. I could almost hear his voice too, mixed with yours as you were reading. And that was kind of different. But I mean, there's so many. I shall curse the plutonium dirge of oblivion, for I wait Orphic winds. Or what was that? Back a little further. The stately and gentle are the virginal streams and coasts of Paramount. I mean, just beautiful wording. Great share. And a great read for both of you, because, as I said, I could hear him too.
No, a really, really, really great, a really great piece.
AAP.
Yes.
You know, when we discussed to have our own generational poem like Homer or the Iliad, we were going to represent our own generation and get together and write a poem. We need to rethink the writing team.
Yes. And I agree, Hatter. I mean, I think, you know, that it's really interesting, isn't it? Because some of the pieces we've got some wonderful poets, and we're very fortunate to have them in our group. And we do hear some wonderful poetry, and we have already in the show, to be honest. We are very fortunate. On that subject, Hatter, I have written a poem for the show. And it is slightly different, which is good. So a sort of new form that I've created. So now it doesn't involve going backwards or anything like that. But it does have a line that builds word by word as it goes down the poem. So see what you think about this. This is "He Chooses Not." And it goes a little bit like this. Together we could discuss the trees of patterns and boughs of bark. Could, but those forests remain dark. Because of waterways turned to seas, in conversation a navy weave. Could, but not, from the day I decided to leave. decisions to be made about the world long after the last blade been parried. Could, but chooses not, even to the day that he married. As comets move in an orbit distorted past the stars and moons so bright. Could review, but chooses not, there will be another born of light. A fresh chance to learn of discovery, to reach and thus seek out meaning. We could review, but chooses not. So is a child in turn to contravening. One learns the mysteries of the world from a father, all of the nature besides. We could review, but he chooses not. So another follows in those strides. End poem. A little build in the third line there. Dev, what did you think of the little build in the third line?
Well, for starters, I do still think that you should name this new invented form. But I like how it could, but, and could, but not, and could, but chooses not. Could review, but chooses not. It's just a little change in each one, but it gives meaning to each of the stanzas that it's in. And the closing stanza, the last two words, we could review, but he chooses not, so another follows in those strides. And it ends with like you're left thinking of that full circle. As another follows in those strides, it's just, and there's many different directions you could be taken into, like long after the last blade, it speaks of time and changes. I like your new invented form, and I think that it's pretty cool how each third line of each stanza grows and helps with your story. Great read.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Mr. Wayne Jen, what did you think of this one?
Well, I think it's amazing. Honestly, I like the style. This is a great style. I like the repeating, and I like the way it builds up on the third line. Kind of puts it, everybody's anticipating what you're going to say next, because all everyone's perfect. And what you said is amazing, too. I like the word it says, as comets move to in orbit distorted, past the stars, the moon so bright. Could review, but choose not. There will be another born of light. That is perfect, Dan. It's just a great stanza. I went through this is good. I liked it a lot.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thank you. And Hannah, what did you think of this one?
I think I see what you did here. Now, in the ABAB form, the third line is the most difficult to write to me because you know what the ending. You chose the fourth line basically when you wrote the second line. So the one to introduce, the hardest one in the four line is the third line. Notoriously, it's ones that can be forced if it's not in the rhyme line. I don't know if that is a better thing or does it. What are your thoughts on? Did you do that on purpose? The third line. I mean, of course
yes,
you
did.
But why'd you pick the third line?
Yes. Why the third line? Look, I originally had the third line as being a repeated line completely. Hatter. I looked at that and I thought, well, that's sort of cool. But could you actually extract a different meaning from the stanzas if you worded it slightly differently? That was my original thought. But then I thought, well, that would be fun if you actually built that line. And so I sort of reverse engineered the poetic device of the building of the line, if that makes sense.
Yeah, if you think about it, the most, and I don't try to follow me here. The most insignificant line in the thing in a rhyming poem in that pattern, the structure is the third line, because your second line and fourth have to rhyme. So they purpose your first line. You're more or less is counting cadence more than anything else. You're not worried about rhyming it.
Yes, right.
So the third line
stands
alone on Very interesting.
Yeah,
AP. I like it.
Yeah, it's just different, and you know, I sometimes I just like to play with form, Adam, and this was an example of that, where I sort of had a play. So there you go.
I can see some sarcasm coming into the third line, to where as it grows, the meaning changes.
Yes. Yeah, agreed.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Very
agreed.
Good.
So, thank you. Now. We are moving on to our member Heavenly Angel, who has put poem on the board, which is "Your Hat is the One I Want on My Bedpost," and I'm going to read it now. So it goes like this. Never been one to allow too many in my circle, decided to stick to myself, because I learned a long time ago that folks will do you dirty, mumble about you behind your back, slap you while you're down, and you know, it's a just can't sugarcoat the cold, hard truth. And then there was you. From the first, I realized all the hormones within me were painted with your DNA. You wrote new chapters in my book of life, taught me how to live again. You are the warmth, the buttery yellow sun that chases away the grey skies I was living under. We may not be rich money-wise, but we have a wealth of love. You can hang your hat on my bedpost until the day after forever. That was very romantic. Hatter, were you able to relate to that?
Yeah, this was the physiology of a poem.
Yes.
It shows it at the writing of the DNA painting
yes.
of your DNA, all my hormones within me. Painted with your DNA.
Yes.
You don't need chapters. So this is very, very good. It's still loving how she does. Very well versed, very well put together. Just a fun read. Enjoyable.
Yeah. It's fun, isn't it? Now, I should say too, Hatter, did you want to put one of your poems into the video or the board?
Okay.
For this one.
Let me go check.
Yeah.
I'll check. I did, right? Let's see. I'll find it.
I'll let you do that. And I will go to another poem, first off. And this is by Lawrence 67, who is a regular contributor to the show. And thank you to Wayne for hanging with us and for his contributions as he had this disappear. So we're just going to go to Lawrence 67. And this is an offer you use, and it goes a bit like this. This is The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie. Alfie. Hey, Nigel, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Nigel, huh? Alfie, now put on this horse's head. Nigel, huh? What are you doing with that knife? Alfie, stand pretty still. Nigel, huh? Yes, help me! Alfie, look at that horse head run. And pop. Deb? You know about Lawrence 67 and his pieces. What do you think of this daughter one this time?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, don't just leave me there, wait. I was waiting for more. Now put on this horse's head, huh? What are you doing with that knife? You got some spooky The Godfather undertones there. It's a very strange one, but fun.
There you go. And Hannah, did you get something out of Lawrence's piece?
I was knee deep in my vault. I'm sorry.
No, I thought you might be. So that's okay. I was checking in to be good. So I'm letting you find your poem, and I'm going to do one quick one more before we get to you, Hatter. So,
all right.
And what do we got this? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm wanting to. You've got your poem there, but I. Deb, did you want me to do Titus next?
Yeah, please. I was hoping to get them in before Wayne had to go, but it's all good.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's okay. Well, look, let's do Titus now, and you put that up on the board. Now, this is one of his Earth Angel pieces that he wrote, and this one's about a good friend of ours to the show, MK Rock. I am going to play his SoundCloud right now, because Titus does spend a lot of time and effort to produce his clips and to put music to it, and this, I'm sure, will be no different. This is Titus and his poem, MK Rock, The Angel of Compassion.
Earth Angel, MK Rock, Angel of Compassion. Misty blue, your eyes to look an ape of diaphanous sea for all emporium. Keenly matched, they do read well, with awareness more as a remark. Rendition to the stars, debate to earmark divinity, emerging as bargainer. Old style linguistics have shown us how spirited she listens continual. Cacophonies to include all beliefs, as will she hear the faintest music. Kindness and the epiphany which follows, and often it will overlook. Adorably so, our worship of your unbiased heart, consigned to utopia. Nacreous mother of pearl, one could be mistaken, it's a silken gown, given by the clouds, bejeweled threads, to create each gossamer wing. Eidolon, Jophiel, evanescent as such in passing. Hail to your forbearance. Labyrinthine you are not, then how can one explain simply ephemeral? Obligatory time has ruled the precious keeping pace with life's allegro. Feast your eyes on reading words. Let your ears feed your mind hereof. Conveniently placed extravagances, how calm hers are so sympathetic. Oracles from where the stars do point, the past where she, our virtuoso, mirrored are the fine example set. Miraculously so, one can only dream. Perhaps when you're called out for that special mention, an auditorium ascends all admiration. The troposphere filled with love's magenta aura, so heavenly. You have surrounded us with honesty and with its kindness. Sincerity from that beautiful soul of yours, to be moved beyond selfless. Immense belonging to has acquired that we amass and join this safari. Omnipresent are we, are to imagine such time as real as this is in stereo. Not only are we touched, but moved as well to make ourselves proven.
And as always, Titus, you've outdone yourself in the way that you read that poem and the music that sat behind it. The person who it was written for, I know, was incredibly touched by your writing of the piece. And that's just because it was a beautiful choice of words and beautifully done. So, Deb, what did you think of Titus's piece?
Well, for starters, I agree with you on listening to him read and the background that he sets for them, that they always just add to his work. And then his descriptions like Misty Blue Your Eyes adorably so, our worship of your unbiased heart. I don't think that there's too many nicer things than telling someone that they have an unbiased heart can be said. Mother of Pearl, I mean, just some delicate, beautiful descriptions how he matches these to the people he writes about always blow me away. And I was just writing in my comment that I wonder if he has any clue what priceless gifts these are and what they mean to the people that receive them from him. I mean, it's mind-blowing. He's got 146 of these. I mean, and they're not just some quick little brevity. They are elaborate and beautiful and descriptive and impressive. And it's always a joy to get to hear one of the poems from his Earth Angels collection.
Thank you, Deb. And, yeah, absolutely it is, because, you know, they're gifts to those people who receive them is the best way I can describe it. Hannah, what did you think of Titus's piece?
First off, the greatest name in poetry, M.K. Rock. Tell her that all the time. I used to. You know, Deb's right. These are very moving. And this one, I don't know if it was more for some reason. Maybe it's just the mood I'm in or something. But this is so well written. It almost makes you feel like you're wasting the time, at least me, trying to rhyme when there's a beautiful spoken word out there like that. It's just incredible.
He does. He has a beautiful classical way of putting together words and rhyming. So now, Hannah, we have your poem on the board. Did you want to read that, or did you want me to read that for you?
I hope it's complete. You go ahead, please.
Okay.
Please.
Well, this is The Walls Have Been Painted, and it goes a little bit like this. I swear if I ever decide to embrace these scales of mine, the place I would fear, let me make it quite clear, I am running out of time. I don't want your pity. I don't want your help. I don't want your opinion. I have one myself. I did not ask for the curse of the gaiters. This ugly disease, I curse the creator. I tend to strike out to any that breathes, the nature within and my tendencies. I bark at the moon and howl when it's full. I run in a pack and I laugh like a fool. My soul has been tainted by a lingering thought. The walls have been painted for the wars they fought. End poem.
Wow.
Read it like that.
That's
nicely,
pretty good.
Nicely put together. Oh, Deb, did you want to say a few words? And I'll come back and I'll say a few.
Yeah, you know, for one thing, I got remnants of Ozzy Osbourne there when you got towards the end. But when I clicked on and saw the art, I would have never expected the poem that went with it, Hatter. I swear if I ever decide to embrace these scales of mine, the place I would fear, let me make it quite clear, I am running out of time. And that part was like a gut punch, I am running out of time. Geez, I don't want your pity. I don't want your help. I don't want your opinion. I have one myself. Yeah, that was like, you know, back off. You know what, Hatter? This was a pretty powerful thing you wrote here. Damn.
Thank you. You know, when I wrote that one, I don't want your pity, I looked at it and went, you know what? Somebody must have written this before, because it, especially the last two lines, I don't want your opinion, I have one myself.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that was
almost generic.
Not really, Hannah, but there was an attitude to it, and I picked it up from the first line. You know, I swear
if
I ever
decide. You read it very well.
Yeah. There was a real sort of tangible sense of wanting to put a real opinion on a page, and I think you did it really strongly, and it just please, Hatter, I really like this one.
Thank you, AP. Thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you know, it's for Sky Show.
Yeah,
I might have missed.
hard to know because with all the stuff that's happened, Adam, but we're, fingers crossed you haven't. So. Okie doke. So I am going to go to a palm on board. This is from Mr. Dave Prophet. It's called the Dragon Queen of Citrali. And I shall put it up now. And it goes a little bit like this. Daughter of Amir Ali, now Dragon Queen of the Citrali. Veined in crimson and obsidian, the keeper to the sword of Gideon. Her heart forged of solid gold, gifts to her soul now unfold. Her exotic gifts of beauty is Isthra's trust fiduciary. She paints through thoughts of her dragon, becomes the beauty to her gong. Dragon purity, thoughts so requisite, becomes her features so exquisite. She's the stealer of hearts and souls. Her dragon would swallow you whole. To any man who's looked into her eyes, light years of emerald green mesmerize. For I've gazed into those eyes, such a lovely fate have I, lost forever to the queen of Citrali. The constellation flies across my night skies. Emerald eyes of Alpha Draconis, a star of the pyramid's bane of Phippus, looks down upon me with smiling eyes, my impossible love for her naked eyes. She's the guardian of Zeestra's thoughts. Men desire her countenance by casting lots. Lines she heard 1,000 times before seeks the honest heart forever more. Do you think you know who? For there really are only two. Beseech the answer. In the eyes of Alpha Picanus, in poem.
Wow.
It's a fun story. What did you think of this piece by...
I'm going back here. There wasn't any... He didn't do repeating lines, right? He just kept with the same... Okay.
No.
His eyes. Okay. Yeah, very well put together. I like the pattern with it. He didn't. He even threw in a fifth line on the. What is that? The fifth. You see that?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And that's the art of being able to hear your own. Just don't worry about counting each syllable because sometimes that doesn't work.
No.
It's how you hear it. How you hear it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go with the rhythm. Yep, exactly right. And
whatever pleases.
That's what it is. So yeah. Deb, what did you think?
You know, I for starters, he wrote this for the girl in the picture, and she's in the center. He incorporated her into that art. Okay, and her name is Zira, and he also brought her to a team of voices. She's a new member, so welcome.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you see all the little parts, like her heart forged of solid gold, gifts to her soul now unfold, these are little compliments and sweet little lines that he wrote, like in a tribute and mixed it in with his story.
Yeah.
And he has this way of taking his storytelling skills and his details and blending them in with his softer, sweet side and presenting it to someone. And I went down to scroll because I'm nosy and it says, you know, wow, such a lovely poem. Thank you so much, my dearest friend. And I think I have like 16 or 17 that he's written for me, and it's always so nice, and this is no exception, and she was thrilled, and it was great, and although you read it awesome, I haven't heard David read for a while, so I'm hoping he, you know.
Yes.
Although we haven't really heard a lot of people read because nobody knows what the schedule's been because of Blog Talk, but it's a great job.
Exactly. So, all good, Deb. Now, you have got a poem on the board, which is not one of yours, but one from the poet that we started the show with.
Yeah. This poem is more famous. It's actually one of her most famous. I really like this poem. Ella Wheeler Wilcox, and it's called Solitude. And here we go. Laugh and the world laughs with you. Weep and you weep alone. For the sad old earth must borrow its mirth, but has trouble enough of its own. Sing and the hills will answer. Sigh, it is lost on the air. The echoes bound to a joyful sound but shrink from voicing care. Rejoice, and men will seek you. Grieve, and they turn and go. They want full measure of all your pleasure, but they do not need your woe. Be glad, and your friends are many. Be sad, and you lose them all. There are none to decline your nectared wine, but alone you must drink life's gall. Feast, and your halls are crowded fast, and the world goes by. Succeed and give, it helps you live, but no man can help you die. There is room in the halls of pleasure for a long and lordly train, but one by one we must all file on through the narrow aisle of pain. End poem.
It is one of the more famous ones. And the reason for that, Deb, is because it sort of captures a lovely sort of the reality of life, you know, and what it means to be popular, what it means to not, how it, you know, you how you capture things and how you don't. Hatta, what did you think of that poem? Great read, by the way.
Yeah, it's like a life lesson to follow, you know. When it says, rejoice and men will seek you, and grieve and they will turn and go. They want full measure of all your pleasure. They do not need your woe. Yeah, it's like a dot your I's, T's.
Yes,
not a bad
I
example.
Agree. You're
creative.
I think a life lesson is a way to describe it, Hatter. It's a clever way to describe it. So, very, very good.
I also think it's one of the most detailed and brilliant ways of saying you get what you give.
Yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, there you go.
There's that about it too. I think you're right, you know. And I'm a strong believer in that, as you know. So, okey-doke. We now have a poem by Dave Muddy on the board called At the River's Bend. And it goes a little bit like this. As I gaze across the valley of the river bend at the beauty of the vast to marvel at God's goodness and my true love next to me, the waters flow past slowly. There's a special serenity, the lushness of the valley we do not always see, for the shadows that the hillsides cast hides the beauty that lies within. When we focus on the distance instead of experiencing the present and the richness of my day. The freshness of the morning breeze, the quiet country sounds of birds singing in the trees, cattle grazing in the pasture and the wildlife that roams free. To stop and take a moment to reflect on what's life about. In the midst of my surroundings, often I fail to see. So open now my eyes to the beauty that lies within, the life that you have given to your humble, well-loved son. In my journey, even when valleys come my way, and today I can see your goodness. I do not have to wait till I'm at the river's bend. End poem. Hatter, bit of free verse. Nice stuff. What a cadence.
Very intense. Found myself.
Yes.
Trying to reminding me to breathe for some reason. So now open. Now my eyes. Maybe it's the. I love the way it's. Is Elizabethan? But now my eyes. Is it Shakespearean?
It's a little,
you know.
It's a little bit
it's a little bit throwback in terms of its style, but quite lovely and very approachable as a poem, I thought.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if that's what you would call it, would you call it
a
little Elizabethan?
A little Elizabethan, a little bit Shakespearean almost, in sort of its sort of the way it sort of puts its words back upon itself a little, yeah?
Because I love doing that. I love doing that.
Yeah.
I should have thought more that way.
Yeah, no, you can do it that way. It's good fun.
Well, you have to.
Yeah,
if you're a rhyming poet, you have to do it because it increases your rhyming. You're rhyming well. You can reach into tenfold. Yeah.
A set of words to use that otherwise you wouldn't. You know, I agree with that. Good. What did you think?
I think that, you know, there was something about this one, as you were reading, for starters, it wasn't an obvious free verse because it flowed so well.
Yes.
And there was some inner and outer that brought with the flow. For example, the waters flow past slowly. There's a special serenity. The lushness of the valley we do not always see. So the ending of the E throughout there gave it a little bit of the rhyme flow, and you read it really beautifully. And it's an award-winning poem, and I think that it was a fantastic share. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, great. No, thanks, Doug. Thanks, Doug, for putting it in. And now we have waited, but Stephen's just let us know he's not going to be here. So we are going to play the SoundCloud that we have. Steph? So, this is Stephen 76, and I just need to put the farm up on the board, the in good shape. So, this is Cole.
I did, didn't I?
Oh, you did. Yeah, you have. You beat me to it. The Swiss Miss the Doll and the Elf by Stephen 76. And SoundCloud goes like this.
The Swiss Miss the Doll and the Elf by Stephen 76. The elf on the shelf and the miss from the Swiss did have a sweet little thing. He'd tell her the gossip of a kid who'd not floss up. Oh, all the yodels she'd sing. One day an idea hit her like diarrhea, so she whispered in pointy ears. He winked and nodded. Away quickly he plotted. To another friend he held dear. He then did tell Chucky of a drink not so yucky. Then both of them wore evil grins. They made up a fast plan and nabbed them a snowman and went about committing sins. So I told you this story I hope wasn't boring, and you may think me quite crass, but I think you loco, because those mellows in your cocoa came from the fat cells of poor Frosty's ass. End poem.
Well, there you go. I never thought about where marshmallows came from before, Deb, and I have now. So I'm not sure that's helping me greatly, but I have now. Did you want to pass comment? Stephen 76 poem.
Does anybody? Okay, I was going to say, does anybody else hear that noise? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? This was priceless. Now, they can't see the picture, but there's Chucky and the elf on the shelf sliding poor Frosty's butt across a grater. And then there's little miniature marshmallows there. And I think this is hysterical, especially the ending. But I think you loco, because those mellows in you cocoa came from the fat cells of poor Frosty's ass. I mean, I think that this was a great way to end the show with a lighthearted giggle over at poor Frosty the Snowman's expense. But this was really cool. Very cool.
Agreed.
Thank you, Stephen.
Wasn't that way to finish. Yes, absolutely. Hannah, you've got the last one.
Yeah, that's awfully clever. Yeah, almost which came first, the poem or the picture? That's pretty clever. That is really clever. And the poem. Good job. I got to say, Stephen 76 is one put that I've seen most advanced in his poetry. He got better and better
yeah.
every time.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a different.
Yeah. Real difference here too, absolutely.
So, with that, Deb, we have finished the show, I think, unless you tell me otherwise. Do you want to tell me what's coming up in the next week on A Team of Voices?
Absolutely. So tomorrow night is Murder and Mayhem with JCA and Sweet Pea. And there are, as always, several choices of very interesting people to choose from to inspire your write. He's sort of celebrating Ripley's Believe It or Not and some of the history in there of it was with Deranged December. So some of these
right.
wonderfully deranged people will be your influences. And then, that's at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And
yep.
then on Monday at 10, for my first show of 2024, I just want you to bring your favorite poem from one of my Monday shows from 2023. But you don't really have to stick to just that year. But one of your favorite poems from one of my Monday shows. And
yes.
then Tuesday is Hatter's Jukebox. And I turn it over. Do you know yet, Hatter?
No. I'll post
okay.
it probably later tonight. Let me think about it, yeah.
Yeah, no problem. I can push it on Monday, too, at the show. So, but that's the next couple of days.
Thank you very much, Deb. And we'll be back same bat time, same bat channel for open poetry. Is that right? For this coming next show?
Hey, Deborah.
I would imagine that next Saturday we'll go back to 9 o'clock unless someone needs a change.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, that's right. And Hannah, you had a question for me.
Yeah. Deborah, we're due for a Motown. Motown.
Motown. Oh, it works.
There you go. So I'll plan on that. We'll figure out a Motown thing.
Yep.
There's a ton of Motown in the studio, so.
I know.
Yep. Yeah. All good.
That works.
Well, I would like to thank Deb and Hannah for being along for the ride and for Sweet and Wayne for calling in and helping us with commentary and for all those contributors. And we have a long list of people who gave us poems and always appreciated. So thanks to everybody and thanks to everybody for being with us and for your comments on the board and for everything else. So. Thank you. We will see you in a week's time.
And AP, great show. Thanks for being our sponsor. And Hatter, go to M on the list, and there's a gazillion that start with the word Motown, and then it tells you the title.
Cool.
Great show.
We'll do.
Love and respect, everyone.
Okay. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back. For this particular show in a week's time, but of course, listen in for tomorrow onwards for more content from A Team of Voices. Lovely to be back on the air, and we'll be talking to you all very soon. Thanks again for everybody. Night for everybody.
See you guys.
Okay. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Deb. Bye, everybody.